All right, let's go ahead and get started here. Just hold on to them extras in case somebody else comes in and you can give it to them, all right? All right, let's go ahead and get started. Nope, with a word of prayer, Brother Kenny, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the study, please.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for another evening in your house tonight, Father. Help us through the word, open up to us. Put the words of Brother Wade's mouth that you want us to hear and put it in our hearts and take it out with us, Father. We thank you for the blessings of this day, Father, and for just being a loving God, having your ears open for us. Our prayers, Father, not turning your back over, Father. We thank you for being on the other side of that door, Father. When the knock, you were still there, and you didn't turn and leave us and forsake us, Father. We just thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's everybody get a handout. Got our handouts here. All right. It's not Martin Luther King Jr. holiday anymore, but we're still giving handouts. So if you'll. Don't even go there. It's not. All right. Now, what we're looking at, lesson number 9, is the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the problem with a lot of Christians is they're not able to rightly divide those kingdoms. And when you don't rightly divide those kingdoms, you will not understand your Bible. You'll end up having to spiritualize it and make it say something it's not saying, simply because you do not know how to rightly divide the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So the study tonight is to help you as God's people be able to understand the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And in so doing, it truly will be a key that opens up a lot of understanding of a lot of things in the Bible and why they're there and what truly is being said. The main theme of the Bible. Now, thank God there's stuff in the Bible on how to be saved. Amen? I'm glad I'm saved. I mean, I'm glad I got in. But I could take you all this Bible and all the verses on how to get saved and probably put on about 5 or 6 pages of this whole Bible. Honestly. All right? You could take everything about Jesus Christ, ministry, and all that, and you might get up to maybe about 1/10 of the Bible. Okay? What is the Bible about? If you were to come with a general theme of the Bible, now yes, Jesus Christ is all the way through the Bible. We understand that. But the major theme of the Bible is these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. In other words, who is the king? Who's in charge? Who's running the show? Anybody watch the news tonight? All right, anybody get a newspaper? I can tell you what it's about already. It's about who's in charge or who's not in charge or who's trying to be in charge or who's getting the other guy in trouble who's in charge or who's number one and who won the game and who lost and who's... See, it's all about, number one, I'm number... that's it. It's king of the hill. And that's what the Bible is about. The Bible you read time after time about war and warfare all the way through there. And the reason for that is it's about kingdoms, right? And you've got two kingdoms in the Bible, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a spiritual, invisible, eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. Think about it. The kingdom of God. Who is God? No man has seen God at any time. He's invisible, right? It's spiritual. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. He's eternal. See? So the kingdom of God, we're talking about an invisible, eternal, spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. See? That's what messes people up. Because when you say the word heaven, what does everybody think? Oh, heaven, flying around like the little angels up, in heaven, and, up there with God. That's not in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. The heavens are God's creation. The kingdom of heaven is physical. The kingdom of heaven is visible. The kingdom of heaven is not eternal in the sense that it can be destroyed. We read in our Bible about one day when this earth is going to be burnt up and destroyed, and God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. When is God going to be burnt up and destroyed? You're never going to need a new God, see? But you are going to need a new heaven and a new earth. So the physical kingdoms can be destroyed. The spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, cannot. Now, if you'll just turn, look on the back side of this page that's attached, and you've got a whole list of things here that give you the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, spiritual, and the kingdom of heaven, physical. Number one, the kingdom of God is spiritual. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus Christ said, "Look not here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you." He told them right there, it's a spiritual kingdom. It cannot be seen. The kingdom of heaven is physical. Look in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Where are they sitting? On the earth. Reigning on the earth. A physical, visible kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. All right. The kingdom of God is a moral kingdom. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of heaven is political. Isaiah 9, 7, a prophecy of Christ, "The government shall be upon his shoulders, the increase of his government, there shall be no end." See? It's a physical government of kings ruling. When he comes back as King of Kings. It's physical. And Lord of Lords. That's spiritual. That's both. Do you understand, when Jesus Christ came at his first coming, both kingdoms were present. Both kingdoms were available. Jesus Christ was offering himself to the nation of Israel to be their Messiah, to be their king. Right? What was Israel looking for? That's what they were looking for, an earthly, visible ruler reigning in Jerusalem over all the kings of the earth. That's what they had their heart and mind set on. They weren't looking for the spiritual, and that's where they got messed up. The kingdom of God is heavenly. The kingdom of heaven is earthly. What was it that God promised Abraham in his covenant? Land. Physical. Land. What has God promised us? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? Spiritual blessings. That's what we're guaranteed. Now, thank God he takes care of all of our needs, and he blesses us some physically, but there's no guarantees there. See? There is for the spiritual. The kingdom of God is universal. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? How many of you are in the body of Christ? Raise your hand. All right, when you go home, how many of you are still going to be in the body of Christ? Raise your hand. How can Jesus Christ be in all those places? You understand? It's when you're talking about the kingdom of God, we are in the kingdom of God now. It's universal. It's all over the world. There's Christians all over this world. But we're all in one kingdom, see? The kingdom of heaven is mainly Jewish, not universal. See? It's through a nation and nations. That's the difference. The kingdom of God cannot be inherited by flesh and blood. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. That's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, spiritual. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So can flesh and blood inherit the kingdom of God? No, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Flesh and blood can inherit the physical kingdoms, right? Did David? He sure did, right? Did Solomon? He sure did. Did Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? They sure did. They got physical land. They got physical blessings, see? And that's the difference there. Flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. Only believers can enter the kingdom of God. You know the verse over in John chapter 3? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God, and you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. See? So the kingdom of God is only for believers. You must have a new birth. You must have a spiritual birth to inherit and enter into the kingdom of God. Can unbelievers enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, yes, they can. Sure, look over in Revelation chapter 20. All right, Jesus Christ is reigning on the earth during the millennium. The kingdom of heaven is present on the earth, right? Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up, and the breath of the earth encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Are they doing wrong? Sure, they're in the kingdom of heaven. See, corruption cannot inherit incorruption, the kingdom of God. It can inherit the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven is corrupt. See? Even in the millennium, people will still sin. Now, God's going to keep it down to a minimum. He's going to do just like he did in the Old Testament. Your child won't obey you and they're rebellious, they're killed. You commit adultery, you're killed. Period. Done. It's over. See? And you'll see them burning in a literal lake of fire in the millennium. You see everything. There's no faith in the millennium. Everything's by sight. See, what's the Lord doing? He's going to have paradise on the earth. How do you have paradise on the earth? You keep sin to a minimum. You stamp it out as much as possible. See? And that's what the Lord's going to do then. We are told to seek the kingdom of God. Look over there in Matthew chapter 6. Never told to seek the kingdom of heaven. You enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can inherit the kingdom of heaven, but you can't seek it. Matthew chapter 6. And look there in verse 31. Therefore take not saying, what shall we eat? That's physical, isn't it? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? All right? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He's not talking about the kingdom of God here. Verse 32, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, not the physical things, not the physical kingdom. See? Seek the spiritual. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a righteous, moral, holy kingdom. And all of these things, physical, the kingdom of heaven, shall be added unto you. Now, what was Israel's problem? They were seeking the physical kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of God. If they had instead sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then they would have received the kingdom of heaven. You understand that? Okay. Here's some other differences. Kind of obvious ones, but we'll read through them. Number one, birds fly in heaven, they do not fly in God. Now that's another way that you know that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are not the same. Because God and heaven are not spelled the same. Number two, there are clouds in heaven. There are no clouds in God. God created the heavens. They did not create him. God was in the beginning. The heavens were not. The heavens are material. You can see them. God is spirit and cannot be seen. Number seven, God controls the heavens. They do not control him. The heavens declare the glory of God, not the other way around. The heavens contain darkness. In God there is no darkness. The heavens can be populated. God cannot. God has a moral nature. The universe is amoral. The universe in itself has no moral nature to it at all. All right? So just so you see, there are some differences between those two kingdoms. So the question is, that being the case, and knowing the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, what we have to look at now is who was the original owner of the physical kingdoms. And what you're going to find out from the Bible is the original owner of the physical kingdoms was Satan. Look in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's look first in Isaiah 14, and we'll start in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, kingdom of heaven? Now, if he fell, that means he was on top. And then he fell. He was king of the hill. He was king of the mountain. And he fell. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. See, what was the problem with the devil? The kingdom of heaven wasn't enough. He wanted the kingdom of God. He wanted to rule over both kingdoms. And so he ends up losing everything he had. See? And we'll look at that there in Ezekiel. It talks about the multitude of his merchandise is what destroyed him. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will. Notice that five times, I will. You take I will together, you know what the middle letter is? Ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So he's fallen. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Starting in verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. So he's taking a lamentation, a lament, for this king, the king of Tyrus. But it's somebody behind the king of Tyrus that he's talking to. It's not the physical king of Tyrus. You're going to see that. Take up a lamentation to the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, I know Adam was there. I know Eve was there. Who else was there? There he is. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, the devil, he was a fallen angel. No, that's a cartoon somebody made up. That's not Bible. The Bible is the devil was a cherub, way higher, way more powerful than the angels. All right, and right now you've got four cherubs around God. You see that in Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. So you have another cherub. He's the fifth cherub. And that fifth cherub covered that mountain. And you had the sides of the north. And so you had a mountain with four corners, one cherub, one cherub, one cherub, one cherub, and another one at the top. King of the hill. The devil himself. All right? And he was cast out of the mountain of God. His possession was taken from him. See? It was taken from him. You have to understand that. Now, if you understand that, you're going to be able to start understanding the Bible. I want you to look at that other chart on the second page. And I just made this up to help you kind of understand as we go through what's going on. And what you'll see is over there, A, and at the end, Omega, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And this is all of Earth's history through the Bible. This is what the Bible's about, this thing right here, in a nutshell. All right. So we're going to learn all the Bible tonight. Not quite. But we're going to get the skeleton, see, of all this. And if you'll understand this, the whole Bible begins to make sense to you. All right. So that's why it's important to learn this. There in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. You can look there if you don't remember it. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1, right? Okay, does anybody know when that was? Very good. Absolutely. It was in the beginning. And in the beginning, when God created that heaven and the earth, who's in charge of the kingdom of God? Who's in charge of the earth, the physical kingdom? Satan is. See? Satan's in charge. Genesis 1:1, Satan's in charge. Then, as we read in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, something happened. Satan fell. See? So now look back there in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. We know that Satan was running the show, but something happened. He fell. Now what happens? Verse 2. Watch it. And the earth was without form and void. What does void mean? It's lifeless. Void. It's lifeless. See? It's emptied. It was. How do you make something empty? Well, there had to be something there before it could be void. When do you void a check? You void a blank check? See? That's when it's void. All right? So there's the earth is made void. It's made without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Where does darkness come from? Yeah, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness. See? And this darkness shows up on the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What happened? God drowned it out. God drowned out that earth. And when he drowned it out, he then starts over and makes it again. The first thing he does is now make a separation between him and his presence, what we call heaven, and his creation that is now corrupted. You understand me? And what you have is you have a giant wall of water that would make this universe, this galaxy, look small. A lot of water, right? Lots of water. And what God does is he's hovering over that water, and here's the earth standing in the water and out of the water. And all of a sudden, God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. How? You got the deep. You got a wall of water that is now separating between where God is. You know where God is? When you get there, the Bible says he dwelleth in the light that no man can see or can see. 1 Timothy chapter 6, right? All right. We have never seen the light of God. You can't without burning up. That's up there, and then you have this giant wall of water, and then total darkness down here. The universe now, the heaven, is in total darkness. The only reason there's any light is because God afterwards makes lights for this heaven. And we read about those over there on the fourth day. God makes the sun, the moon, and the stars. Without the sun, the moon, and the stars, how much light would there be? None. Say, well, man made light. You would have never made it if you didn't have light to begin with. If God hadn't had the sun and the moon and the stars there, see? And all life had to come from that, so God has to make those artificial lights. Yes. Who said? That's what we just saw. That's what's happening right there. The second heaven is the heaven that's now been created when God divides the light from the darkness. One heaven, the third heaven, is where God is. That's all light. The second heaven is the universe, which is all in darkness, on the other side of that water, the great deep, as the Bible calls it. All right? And in that great deep is swimming around a great red dragon. Amen. See? And down in this heaven now, it's all darkness except for the sun, moon, and the stars that God put there. And then we're dwelling down here with Satan still running around in the darkness. See? No, he was already in the third heaven. There was only one heaven at that time. In the beginning, God created the heaven, one, and the earth, one. See? Well, you have more than one earth now. You got Mercury, Venus, Earth. See, we call it Earth, but they're all Earth. You know, they spent millions of dollars to go up to the moon to bring back some rocks. You know what they're made of? They're made of rocks. All the materials that exist are on the Earth. There's nothing on any of those planets that isn't here. You understand that, right? They're all Earth. Where does God create the planets? He already told you. The Earth. But he took that Earth and he threw it in water. You know what that Earth was? You know what we read there in Ezekiel 28? Stones of fire. What's the result of those stones of fire? They're covering diamonds, carbuncle, jasper, jewels. How do you get jewels? Heat and pressure. Heat and pressure. Stones of fire. You take that thing, you take that mountain, is what it was called. It's a pyramid. You take that thing, and that's a whole different study. Don't let me get going there. And you take that whole thing and you throw it in water, and that thing busts apart, a big explosion. It's in the water and out of the water floating. And then that thing, you take that just like you would anything else, like metal, and you do that, take metal and meld it and then drop it in water and watch what happens to it. It turns into a ball. And it cools down on the outside and it stays hot in the middle. Hell was prepared, the stones of fire, for the devil and his angels. There you go. So what happens? God takes that thing, he throws it in the water, the whole thing explodes, and you've got one place there, earth, where God says, let their water be there. And so this is the only place you find water other than up there. And God creates a vacuum between that water and the earth. That's what he did. All right? And that vacuum area we call heaven. And so, and then he says, let the dry land appear, and the water, so you've got water on the earth, and how did the dry land appear? Where some of the water goes down into the earth. That's why you got wells. That's why you got springs. That's why when Noah's flood came, a lot of the water came from under the earth. That's why there was no rain before Noah's flood. How did the earth get water? It came up from the ground, the Bible says, and watered the earth. So there's been a lot of changes since Noah's flood. Now, I want you to notice something there over in verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them. Just created Adam and Eve. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. If I ask somebody to replenish this cup, what am I asking you to do? Refill it. Right? Okay. You say, how do you know that's so? How do you know he just didn't mean fill? That's what a lot of them say. Well, he just meant fill. He said replenish. No, listen, first of all, he just made the whales and he told them to fill the seas. He uses the word fill in Genesis chapter 1. He knows how to use the word when he wants to use the word fill. And when he wants to use the word replenish, he uses the word replenish. And every time the word replenish shows up in the Bible, it means to refill. Look in Genesis 9. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, that sounds familiar, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Why did Noah and his sons need to replenish the earth? Because there was somebody else on the earth before the flood. Right? Why did Adam and Eve need to replenish the earth? Because there was somebody else on the earth before the flood. That's the second flood. God's promise to Noah was, I will no more again destroy the earth with a flood. So you've done it twice. So how do you know that? Well, you've got, you know Adam and Eve had plenty of sons and daughters, right? How many are mentioned by name? Three sons. Noah has how many sons? Three sons mentioned by name. Each of them have one son that's a type of Christ. Abel, Shem. Each one of them is a type of the Antichrist. Cain, Ham. See that thing? What did Adam do wrong? He ate off of some fruit and got messed up. What did Noah do wrong? Where did it come from? Fruit. Off a tree. And he got messed up. Now you see that thing? That thing's solid all the way through. See? So just as Adam was put on the earth after a flood, Noah is put on the earth after a flood. Look in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the thing that the devil doesn't want Christians to know, this stuff right here. You hear me? He doesn't want you to know this. And most of the seminaries, most of the places, they don't teach any of this. Oh, that's the gap theory. We don't take any credit in that. The gap theory is this there to try and explain away evolution. No, the gap theory is there to explain where the devil fell. If he doesn't fall there, where did he fall? You understand, you've taken away the explanation for everything in the Bible. See? And nothing then makes sense. If the devil doesn't fall in Genesis 1:1, where did he fall? Because the beginning is Genesis 1:1, and he was perfect when he was created. So is he still perfect today? No, the Bible said he sinned. When did he sin? Hey, what's being covered up is the fall of Satan. It has nothing to do with evolution at all. It has to do with the fall of the devil. 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, verse 1, we'll get the context. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of our apostles, the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come, when? In the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Genesis 1:1, everything's been the same. No, it hasn't. But that's what the scoffers would say. So by learning and understanding this, you also learn and understand that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back to get us, and he's coming back to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and he's coming back to kick off the devil off the kingdom of heaven. Okay? All right, now, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant. That's premeditated stupidity. That's planned. That's purposeful, see? Willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Oh, really? And the earth, standing in the water and out of the water. Whereby the earth, did he say the earth, or did he say the world? The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So we have a new world since Noah's flood. No. Isn't Jesus Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? The foundation of the world is the fall of Adam and Eve. You've had the same world since Adam and Eve have been here. Since the fall, it's been the same world system. All right? But you had a different world before the flood, before Adam and Eve. It was Satan in charge. You had devils, angels, all that. Spiritual things, the sons of God. It was the devil with the sons of God. Who was the original owners of this earth? The sons of God. So who wants it back? And who's connected with the sons of God? Job 1, Job 2. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Whence comest thou? From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. They're still here. And that's a whole other study there. We're going to get off of that. And just, we went over that a little bit last week anyway. Were replenished. Who was Adam called? And if they had done as God had said and not eaten of the fruit and had children, who would have they been? See? It was a replacement. Now, what happened? Adam fell. He messed up, right? So you have the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God has a plan for redemption for mankind. We've now been redeemed. So what are we now? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See? God's got the whole thing worked out. This whole thing's just going to work out just the way God intends. And it doesn't matter what the devil does. God's always a step ahead. Which part? Yeah, sure. Well, we've already seen it there. We've got a mountain, right? You saw that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. It's stones of fire, right? And that thing is also called Mount Zion. Beautiful for situation. Mount Zion. The joy of the whole earth, the city of the great king, situated on the sides of the north. All right? What structure has a north and has sides? All right, so that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a pyramid-type object. All right? When God makes new heavens and a new earth, he has New Jerusalem come down and sit on top of it. It's four square, and it's a city. It's the capstone. And it sits down on that earth and lightens the whole earth. When light goes out, it goes out in a prism. You know what shape light is when it goes out? It's in the shape of a pyramid. Now picture a pyramid that starts up here at the capstone and goes out and never ends. How do you ever fill it up? That's eternal life. That's what's in store in the future. Who's going to reign over it? I guess that's up to you. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Amen? See, that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's all about. The Lord's, he's got all this stuff planned out now. He's got it all worked out. So, but the whole idea here is we see the fall, look there, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire. How's God going to destroy the earth the next time? He's going to burn it up, see? So he's talking about from the beginning to the end. All the way from Genesis 1:1, all the way when this thing is burned up, right? So that flood there, that's not talking about Noah's flood. A lot of people say that's Noah's flood. It can't be. He said the heavens and the earth which are now. Did we get new heavens after Noah's flood? You see? Did we get a new earth after Noah's flood? No, it just got dried off, but it was the same earth. So it won't fit. It doesn't work. He's talking way back there in Genesis 1:1, because that's what they're willingly ignorant of. They're not ignorant of Noah's flood. They're ignorant of the other flood. And that's the fall of Satan. So what you've got is between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 is the fall of the devil. When the devil falls, God takes that kingdom from him, and he's going to give it to someone else. And that someone is Adam. So look there in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Y'all with me? Is this... Amen. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. All right. Heaven. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15. The Lord took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Gave him something to do. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did he eat off of it? Did he die? Did he die the day that he ate thereof? See, when God takes Adam, he's king over two kingdoms. He's king over the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. And he's king over the kingdom of heaven, physical kingdom. The devil knows if he's ever going to get back the physical kingdom, the first thing he has to do is take away his authority over the spiritual kingdom. Right? How does he do it? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, right? Now, have I said to you, for $10 you can have a parking hand? For $10 you can have a parking hand. Yeah. Now, you don't know if that's a good deal or not, do you? Right. All right, now I say this, you shall be as gods. Well, you know what that is. How? How did Adam and Eve know what he was talking about? Because they were on the earth, the sons of God, wanting to get back what was theirs. You'll be like them, knowing good and evil. You see, they were already there. They already had a plan in place to get back what was theirs. At that time, they were in subjection to Adam until it fell. So he kills him spiritually right there at the fall. That's why he goes after him, to kill him spiritually. Right? Now he's still ruler over the physical kingdoms at this time. They're still his. And so God always now from that point on is seeking out a man to rule over those physical kingdoms. Okay? And so it goes from Adam and it goes down Adam's line, and we see his sons that it passes down through, and then we see that thing go to Noah, right? And it goes down there, and then somebody usurps the kingdom, and a guy shows up named Nimrod, and he builds a city in the land of Shinar, just like his predecessor Cain had done, who built a city and called the city Enoch, after the name of his son, Enoch. But Noah has a son, or Noah's grandfather, what was his name? Enoch. You have two lines going down. One's the false and one's the true. They're both looking for a city. These guys are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And these guys are looking for a city on the earth. You look over in Revelation 17, you got a church that's connected with a city, but it's physical. But you've also got another mystery church, which is the true church, which is spiritual. Now I've lost you. I know. All right. Let's get back on subject. Noah. It passes from Noah. You know your Bible. You read your Bible. You see that. Goes to Abraham. And God promises Abraham what? Land. Ruler over a physical kingdom. Everywhere Abraham touches, it's his. God gives him complete authority. Anybody he goes to battle against, he beats. See? Never loses a war. That thing goes from Abraham down to Isaac, down to Jacob. And then from Jacob, it goes to Judah. All right? And look over there in Genesis 49. It's the promise for that. In Genesis 49, Jacob is giving a prophecy to each of his sons, who become the 12 tribes of Israel, who was Jacob, became Israel. And notice in verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. There's the ruler. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. See? Look at verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone. My son? See the prophetic application? Thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh there, a reference to the King of Peace, Jesus Christ. And then it goes on there and gets into his second advent down there, verse 11 and 12. Now, the idea is God's bringing that kingdom through, and now he just told you he's bringing it through Judah. All right? So it goes down from Judah. You have Moses show up for a while and delivers them, and Moses is called a king in Jeshurun, but he's not from the tribe of Judah. So we know it's not going to stay in from the tribe of Levi, but they become the priests. See? Trying to get back the kingdom of God, or at least getting good graces there. Then Saul shows up, but Saul's from the tribe of Benjamin. That's not going to work either. And then God chooses a man after his own heart, David, from the tribe of Judah. All right? And so now you've got the throne of David, and it goes from David down to Solomon, down to all the kings. Look over there in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom. What kingdom is that? A physical kingdom. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. See? So there you've got a physical kingdom being promised to Jesus Christ, And that physical kingdom is said to be the throne of David. So you see that thing coming all the way down through there. And it goes from David to Solomon, and then you read the book of 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, and then of course Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of the prophets all getting in there and dealing with these different kings and all that. But that thing ends up with a problem. And what happens is Israel continues to go against God. They continue to get into idolatry, and God chastens them some more and deals with them. They get good kings and bad kings, and finally God just, that's enough. I've had enough. And God is going to be through with these kings. Now, if you will, look over in Jeremiah. I think it's chapter 22. Jeremiah 22. And the reference is to Israel's last king, Jeconiah. But he doesn't call him Jeconiah here, he calls him Keniah. He takes the J-E, which is a reference to God, Jah, like Jesus, Joshua, see? He takes that J-E off and just calls him Keniah. Look at verse 28 of Jeremiah 22, you got it? Now watch this. Is this man Keniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed? They're cast out. He and his seed. They're cast out. And are cast into a land which they know not, Babylon. Now look what he says in verse 29. Read with me. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. No. O Israel, Israel. Who's he talking to? God is talking to the whole earth here, not just Israel. O earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Well, then you got a problem. How are you ever going to be able to have a Messiah to come along from the seed of David to reign over the throne of David when God just cursed the seed? There's only one solution. Virgin birth. Mary, thou hast found favor with God. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. That thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. It's the only way it could have happened. God worked that thing out, so it had to be a virgin birth. It just showed you it couldn't be from the seed of man to ever be a king over the kingdom of heaven again on this earth. It would have to come from God himself. Right? And so from that time, what does God do? Look over in Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. Lamentation, that's woes, that's lamenting, you understand? That's boo-hoo, woe is us, all that. Lamentations chapter 5. Verse 10, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned! Exclamation point. They lost the crown. And the kingdom of heaven from that time on is gone from Israel. It's gone. Then where did it go? Luke chapter 4. Y'all with me still? Break time? All right, we'll get this and we'll take a break. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone be made bread. Why is he when's the last time you saw him coming up and tempting some? It wasn't that Adam and Eve? Wasn't he the Son of God? What's the devil after? Huh? He's after the kingdom of God. You know what he's willing to give up to get it? Verse 3. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone be made bread. Jesus answered and said, It is written, A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. There's the kingdom of heaven. In a moment of time. Now watch this, verse 6. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Who to go back to? It went back to the original owner, the devil, the God of this world, kingdom of heaven. See? It's his. He's now running the show. So you've got Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and who's going to be the kingdoms? And it's Babylon, and then it's Persia, and then it's Greece. But all those are under the authority of the devil. And so finally, a stone cut without hands comes and smashes the whole thing and takes over. That's Daniel 2. That's what's going on there. Notice how would it be that Jesus Christ could get the kingdom of heaven? It's promised to him, right? All he has to do is one thing, verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, what does the devil want? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. He's willing to give up the kingdom of heaven to get the kingdom of God. See? That's where he's trying to get that. He's not satisfied with just he hasn't changed any. That's how he got messed up at the beginning. That's how he's still messed up. See? And of course, Jesus Christ, tells him, get behind me, Satan. Behind me. I'm in charge. And one day, buddy, you're going to get down and worship me. That's what he's telling him. Amen. He's the king of the kingdom. He can wait. He can wait. Amen. He'll get the kingdom of heaven in due time. And so that's all from 606 B.C. on. That thing has been delivered to the devil. All right? And all of a sudden, 2,000 years ago, a man gets up, standing in the River Jordan, shouting and screaming and telling people to repent. He's got an Old Testament in one hand and a grasshopper sandwich in the other. And he says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so you get a bunch of dumb scholars up there saying, See, they're the same. No, they're not the same. But when Jesus Christ showed up, both kingdoms were available. Both kingdoms were present. And the Jews could have had both of them if they had obeyed the message that John the Baptist told them to do, which was what? Repent. Did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of Israel come to John's baptism and be baptized by him? No, they didn't. They didn't repent. They didn't repent. All right, so we'll pick it up from there and finish this thing up after the break. Brother Doyle, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the fellowship and the food.